Welcome to Global Outreach Community Church, where we proclaim and demonstrate the love of God through Christ. Now, from the Overlook, located in Atascocita, Texas, here is Pastor Anderson with today's message.
In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. And we want to continue in our series on God Will Provide. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1 says, Now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, So may the gods do to me even more if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And he was afraid and arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. And he left his servants there. So we want to continue in our series on God Will Provide, 1 Kings chapter 19. If you remember, Elijah, the prophet, shows up out of nowhere at a time in history of Israel when Ahab and King, who is the king now of Israel, and Jezebel now have erected the Baals. That's the false god, and the Asherah pole, another false god. False gods of fertility, of power, and of production. And they have literally turned the hearts of the nation, of the people of Israel, to now worshiping idol gods. And if you remember, as we've walked through these four chapters, that we have to be very careful how we erect idol gods in our lives. That we may not be worshiping the Baals or the Asherah pole, but we can make materialism our God. That we can make our careers our God. Matter of fact, the God-given gifts that God has placed within us, that we can get out of character and make our gifts our God. There are times that our money becomes our God. And God, as the Bible declares, is a jealous God. And anytime you erect anything above him, he has a way of slapping our little gods in the face. So here's Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 17. He shows up out of nowhere and he pronounces a drought to King Ahab. Just a review. So Elijah shows up out of nowhere. He pronounces a drought. He says, at my word, it will not rain for 3.5 years. The drought happens. God takes Elijah, put him by the brook. He puts him in intentional hiding. God provides for Elijah at the brook. God gives him water. And God brings him food in the morning and food in the evening by a raven. And we said ravens are unusual birds, that ravens will not even take care of their own young, that ravens are scavengers, that they pick from dead carcasses and they steal food, and yet God chooses a raven to feed Elijah. But over the process of time, the brook dries up. God removes Elijah from the brook. He sends him to Zarephath. There in Zarephath, he meets a widow. The widow is gathering sticks. She's going to make a cake for her son. And after she makes a cake, she declares that she's going to die. But Elijah shows up and he says, if you make me a cake first, your oil and your flour will never run dry. Can I drop this in? You serve a God of abundance. That as we are obedient to the word of God, God will show you how abundant his resources are. The problem with most of us is that we are not obedient to the principles, to the word of God, and we miss all that we could have, all that God wants to give us because of disobedience. So God provides. He provides the flour. He provides the oil. Elijah's taken care of. The widow is taken care of. And all of a sudden, the widow's son dies. So Elijah goes up to the upper room. He grabs the boy. He prays. He puts the boy in the bed. He lays over the son for 3 times. Life comes back into the son. He brings the son back down to the mother. The mother is a Gentile woman. She accepts God. Her God is now a Jew. God can save from the uttermost to the guttermost, from the guttermost to the uttermost. I don't care what situation you're in, your God can save. And that's why we celebrate our risen Savior, because God is not like people. God doesn't look at the outside. We serve a God who looks at the inside. 1 Kings chapter 17. Chapter 18, all of a sudden, Elijah outruns Ahab. And then there is a battle that happens on Mount Carmel. On Mount Carmel, 450 of Ahab's prophets are there. Elijah stands alone. They're crying out to their prophets. They get to the point they start cutting themselves and they're bleeding. And it's as if their God, who is an idol God, has gone to the restroom. That he's out to lunch. He's put a do not disturb sign on the door. And Elijah is making fun of them. Maybe you're not screaming loud enough. Maybe your God can't hear you. And all of a sudden, Elijah says, shut up and let me pray to my God. Elijah prays. Fire comes down from heaven. It burns up the sacrifice. It licks up the altar and the water. And God shows himself to be the only true and living God. At the end of chapter 18, Elijah outruns Ahab's chariots. So it brings us to chapter 19. So I want you to consider this morning. Elijah is a man of faith, a man of courage, a man of power, and a man of prayer. But we meet this man in chapter 19, and Ahab now goes back to his bad wife, who's really running the household, because she is the one that really turned his heart away from God to serving idol gods. In chapter 19, Ahab goes to Jezebel. He says, listen, can I tell you all that Elijah had done? It really wasn't about Elijah. It was all about God. But Ahab mentioned Elijah before he mentioned God. Be careful who you get a credit to. Because if something is happening in your life and it's good, chances are it's not because of who you are, it's because of who he is. So you always want to give the credit to the right person. And I don't care what God brings you to, God deserves all the glory and God deserves all the credit. So in verse 1, Ahab goes back, he tells Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and watch Jezebel. She sends a message back to Elijah. Hey, Elijah, I'm coming for you, and I'm going to kill you. Now watch the prophet. In chapter 19, the prophet in verse 3 becomes afraid. God has used him in a mighty way, and all of a sudden he becomes afraid. And he leaves the place that God had sent him, and he goes under a juniper tree, and he gets depressed. He's in despair, and he's suffering from a lack of encouragement. And you can judge him, but at some point in your life, all of us become depressed. At some point in our life, all of us are discouraged. At some point in your journey, you will have some despair. If you live long enough, you will run in one of those three lanes. And if you say you won't, I would beg to differ, because here's the man of God that God used mightily, and yet he suffers from depression. He suffers from discouragement, and he's in despair, and he's afraid, and he ran for his life. So before you judge him, at some point in your life, you will get tired, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but discouragement will come. You will want to give up. You will want to throw in the towel, but I'm here to declare the word of the Lord. God is not finished with you yet. Don't you give up. Don't you throw in the towel. You tie a knot at the end of the towel, and sometimes you just got to hang on for your dear life. So watch the prophet. Watch the prophet. Here's the question I would ask you this morning. Why was he depressed? Why was he discouraged? And why was he in despair? First reason why, he was physically tired. He was exhausted. He was fatigued. And at some point in your life, when you get tired, fatigue, exhaustion set in, depression can show up. Discouragement can show up. Exhaustion can show up. Here's how I know, because at the end of chapter 18, Elijah runs 20 miles faster than Ahab's chariot. Can you imagine running 20 miles at full speed and beating somebody's chariot? I assume that you will be tired. And then he runs from there to a juniper tree. That's another 60 miles. And then he runs from underneath the juniper tree to the desert, which is another 15 miles. This brother ran 100 miles. And he's running at 100 miles in a couple of days, and he's tired. You got to be careful that you don't go from activity to activity, event to event, from work to work. Because if you never take a break and you never rest, you will fall, chances are, into fatigue, exhaustion, depression, despair. Because God made us human beings, not human doings. And we get caught up in always doing stuff instead of just being. And sometimes God just wants us to be still, and watch the salvation of the Lord. Don't move, take a break. But we too caught up from going from event to event, from one thing to another. And God is saying, if you don't watch it, you can be like this man. Discouraged and despair, you're physically tired. So that's number one. Number two, how could he be discouraged? How could he be tired? How could he be physically fatigued? How could he be in despair? He took himself too serious. How do I know? Look at verse 10. Verse 10. In verse 10, we see that he's talking to God and he says, I've been very zealous for you, Lord, the God of hosts. The sons of Israel has forsaken your covenant, tore down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I am left alone. Man, he's taking himself too serious. Because he thinks he is the only one in the nation who's standing for God. No, he's not the only one. He was the only vocal leader standing for God. But we're going to find out God has 7,000 people who would stand for him. Don't take yourself too seriously. And then we have to make sure that we're not driven by what the world is driven by. Every now and then, smile. Every now and then, pat yourself on the back. Every now and then, say, it's all good. One of my Dominican friends said this to me. He came here. He stayed with us for about 3 days. He left. A group of them came back. He said, man, you Americans are just too busy. He said, man, no, seriously. Y'all don't even go outside. We've driven down your street, and I don't see no kids out playing. We're in the DR, everybody outside. I mean, it's like 1,000 people in one community. Everybody just running and playing. He said, man, I noticed something about you guys, especially you. When you got to Olive Garden and your food wasn't ready at 5:30, you was pacing. I said, yeah, man, that's me. I said, because I like to be on time. If I'm ordering the food at 5:30, can you get it ready at 5:30? Anybody else like me? Am I the only crazy man? Thank you. Thank you for being honest. So I said, yeah. He said, hey, Pastor, don't worry. Be happy. And what do I say now at home? Don't worry. Be happy. Stop taking yourself too seriously. You really ain't all of that. Relax sometimes. Elijah was taking himself too seriously. Here's the problem. He had too high of a view of himself, but too low a view of God. And too many times, we have too high a view of ourselves, but too low a view of God. God is sovereign. Stop making yourself more than God and put God in his proper place. So I had a pastor tell me this as I go to my next point. He said, Eric, I planted a church 10 years ago. We met last week. And I said, man, what's the biggest thing you learned in the last 10 years? He said, oh, the sovereignty of God. I said, well, explain that. He said, bro, we would have families leave, and I would freak out. Oh, my God, that's one-third of my church. He said, man, I would stay up all night crying, and I would stress, and I would worry. He said, 10 years later, they weren't supposed to be there. It wasn't their season because they were just scaffolders. They was only there for a season to build the church. He said, so I learned after 10 years, don't worry about it. Be happy. God is sovereign. So I'm telling you, don't take yourself too seriously. Here's the third reason why he was in discouragement. He was depressed. He developed the wrong view of success. And far too often in the church, we have the wrong view of success. Here's his view of success. The dramatic, the spectacular. I'm going to pray and boom, fire going to come down. I'm going to pray and rain's going to happen. I'm going to pray and a drought will happen. Sometimes God is not always moving in the spectacular. It's all right if God is just moving in the mundane. Don't measure success by the worldly's expectation of what success is. Because when you do that, your ego and your pride tends to get in your way, and you set yourself up for discouragement. You set yourself up for despair. You set yourself up to be like Elijah, who is hiding under a juniper tree. And here's the juniper tree. A juniper tree is almost man-made. It's a skinny tree, small limbs with no shade. He ran to a place that wouldn't even give him shade. And sometimes we find refuge in the wrong place and the wrong people. That we get to go, we go to people who we think should give us advice. But man, if I'm on crack and you on crack, what can you tell me? Now seriously, we get advice from the wrong people. You need to know who your support is, and we'll find that in the text. So he developed the wrong view of success. And here's the last thing. He thought God was dependent on him. God, you need me. I'm the only one here. I'm gifted. When I pray, things happen. Have you ever met people like that in the church? That they think God only moves when they stand up. But God has a way of showing you, no, I really don't need you. I don't need you at the school. I don't need you as a coach. I don't need you as a counselor. I can choose somebody else. So he thought God was really dependent on him. Can I say something this morning? You're not indispensable. That if you die, and I know this sounds rough, God will raise somebody up. And one of the problems that I had at Will and Works, my last church, was this. I would be over ministries and I would say, well, there's nobody else to do it. And somebody told me, yeah, but if you get out the way, I guarantee you God will raise somebody up. And Ms. German, I got out the way, boom, God will raise three people up. Sometimes you think too high of yourself. You got to get out the way because God is not only dependent on you. God has more people sitting in the pews, sitting at the job that can do what you can do. And watch this, sometimes can do it better. And what I've learned in supervising, just like these coaches, hey, I don't care how you get it done. You don't have to do it my way. Just get it done. Because 9 times out of 10, you may do it better than I can. I just wanted you to get it done. God is not dependent solely on you. He has more people. So that's why Elijah fell into depression. So here's the question that I want to ask. If he fell into depression, what did he need? I'm going to give you three things that he needed and we're done. Here's the first one. Y'all ready? This is super spiritual. Y'all get ready now. I'm going to blow your socks off with this one. The first thing he needed was rest and food. Woo, that's spiritual, Pastor. Rest and food. Can I show it to you in the Bible? Verse 6. Me and Minister Holmes met yesterday. We're going through the Bible. I said, Minister Holmes, somebody say something that can't point to the Bible, you need to question that. I said, because you need to be text-driven. That everything you point out, it needs to be in the text. And if it's not in the text, and you can't show it to me right here, I got a problem. Because this is what God has left us to live by. So can I drop this in for free? If you're going to hear preachers, and I'm even talking about myself, that is not in the Bible and they can't show you, you need to question that. So watch this, verse 6 through 8. Then he looked, and behold, there was at his head bread, cake, baked on hot stones, and a jar of water. So he ate, and he drank, and he laid down. He laid down twice, and he ate twice. God showed up through an angel. And in the text, the angel is called a theophany, a visible manifestation of God's presence in the Old Testament, or a Christophany, a visible manifestation of the Trinity, the second person of the Trinity in the Old Testament. So Christ shows up, or God himself shows up. He says, hey, you need some rest and you need something to eat. Every now and then when you get depressed, you are discouraged and you are in despair, slow down and get some rest. Is that not simple? That you can just rest, that I can sleep, and then I can get something to eat. That's so simple that I said, wait a minute, God, maybe I missed something. No, God has ordained rest for the human body. And every now and then you need to slow down to get some rest. And I'm preaching to myself this morning because there are times I'm jumping on and off airplanes. There are times that I want to do all of this, but I've learned from a good coach and I've learned from other pastors. Rome would build in a day. Pastor, I know you want to do all that, but take your time. Implement things slowly, because if you take your time and you implement things slowly, it will stand the test of time. Can I say this to some of you business owners? You want your business to blow up overnight. It may not be the best for it to blow up overnight, because sometimes instant success is not longevity in success. Take your time, lay the foundation, get you some rest, eat you some food, and let God build it. Let God do it. So Elijah needed some rest and he needed some food. Can I tell you why? Let's keep reading. Let's keep reading. Here's the reason why he needed rest and he needed food. So we in verse 6. God gives him bread. God gives him water. And then the angel touched him, told him, arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you. I underline it in my Bible. The reason why you need rest and the reason why you need food is because God has a great destiny for you. He has a great journey for you. And you have to slow down and get some rest because this is for the long haul. The journey is great. Yeah, you're coaching at one school, but God may make you the coach of Katie. And Katie is another animal. Katie football is another beast. So if he's going to take you from one level of success to another level of success, he knows the journey is great. He needs you to get rest, and he needs you to get some food. Is that not super spiritual? Rest and food. When I read that, I said, no, it's got to be more. Rest and food. Here's the second thing. Here's the second thing God needs. Here's the second thing you can get out of depression, despair. I'm not a counselor. I'm giving you biblical principles. You need to hear the whisper of the Lord. You need to hear the whisper of the Lord. Follow me, verse 11. So he said, this is God speaking, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord was passing by, and a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord wasn't in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord wasn't in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing wind. A gentle blowing wind. The ESV calls it this, a low whisper. The New American Standard Bible calls it a gentle blowing. The King James called it a small voice. In other words, Elijah moved from being under a tree in a desert. He moves to being in the cave. God calls him out of the cave in just a whisper, Elijah, I got more. And if we're too tired, we can't hear the whisper of the Lord. Because God shouldn't always have to scream at you. Sometimes God just shows up in a whisper. Love him. Be patient. Be quiet. Step back. Forgive quickly. Don't go that way. And thank God that he shows up in a whisper. But he can't show up in a whisper if you're too tired. Because if you're too tired, you can't hear the whisper. So God is moving. And if you're here this morning, you're saying, I never hear from God. Could it be that you're too busy? Could it be that you won't pause? Could it be that you have too much on your agenda? So God takes him out of hiding, out of the cave, and God speaks to him. Stop hiding from God and learn how to hide in God. That when life is hard and heavy, stop hiding from God. God already knows what you need. Learn how to hide in God. Because when you hide in God, there's peace. When you hide in God, there's joy. When you hide in God, there's everything that you need. So again, first thing Elijah needed was rest and food. Second thing he needed was the whisper of the Lord. And here's the third thing. Elijah had to realize that he was not the only one. He wasn't the only one. That he had support. If you read verses 15 to 21, God gives him support. God says, hey, bro, you're not the only one. I got 7,000 more who will not bow. I call that support. Hey, not only do I have 7,000 more, but I got Hazael. I want you to anoint him. I have Jehud. I want you to anoint him. And I have my bad boy Elijah. I want you to anoint him. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is you are not alone, that God has support. You just got to find who supports you. You got to find out how to hook up with the right people, because the wrong people will suck the life out of you. The wrong people will drain you. The wrong people will just tear you down. I want to be around people who are going to build me up. I want to be around people who are going to prop me up. I want to be around people who will listen and never judge me. You got to find your support. So God says, listen, I want you to take your mantle off at the close of the chapter. And I want you to just take your mantle and put it on Elijah. He puts his mantle on Elisha. And do you not know that Elijah mentored Elisha, and I believe Elijah did 7 miracles in the Old Testament. Elisha did 14. Can you see you're not by yourself? That God can give you some support. And God took one man who stood up at the right season and at the right time, who will not bow down to what the world was saying. He used him. And when that man's season is up, God gave him support. God put him with some more people, and God used somebody up. Sooner or later, my season is going to be up. One day, I'm going to die. And this church better not hinge on me, because if it hinges on me, the whole church will crumble. I'm not speaking this on you, but God could use me for a season and said, Anderson, your season is up. Take your anointing. Take your mantle, take your coat, and put it over this man of God. And this man of God stands up, he declares the word of the Lord, he starts preaching, and you see more miracles from him than you ever saw from me. But if it's about me, you will never see that. So what I'm trying to tell you this morning, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about what God wants to do in you and through you for his glory, because God always has somebody waiting in the ranks. He always has somebody waiting in the ranks. You have support. So let me end here. Support. Friday night, can I show you support? And I'm done. Friday night, we had 6 blended families come together. Spur of the moment, please don't get mad at Pastor. I was just meeting with families, and I saw the urgency of the moment. I said, oh, we can't wait. Send a text message out 2 weeks before. Some people could come, some couldn't. We had 6 families at my house Friday night. And I got up and shared from a transparent perspective with all that my wife and I have gone through as a blended family. That we have a beautiful older daughter, but we also have one together biologically. And to mesh all of us together, it wasn't easy. But after 17 years, God gave us support. And the reason we're here is not because of what we've done, but we went to counseling. That's called support. We had people to surround us. That's called support. We had people to encourage us. That's called support. I had men checking me. That's called support. Men that didn't tell me what I wanted to hear, but they told me what I needed to hear. And I had a wife tell me one time, baby, Kiki needs you because you're the only daddy she has. Support. We opened up and the floodgates opened up. And we went from couple to couple. There were teary eyes. There was quiet moments. There was moments like, ooh, boy, you better be quiet because you're going to be divorced when you go home. But what I'm trying to tell you is God gave support in the midst of a group. Stop thinking you're by yourself. You're not by yourself. God has support. You need to hook up with the right people. You got support. So if you're having problems in your family and you don't want to talk to nobody, that's your fault. You got support. You got support. And God showed you this morning, I will provide. 7,000 people waiting in the cut that won't bow. So can I end with this? Will you be one who stands when nobody else stands? Will you stand when all your friends tuck tail and run away from God? Will you stand when everybody denies God and is you? And at times, you alone. But always remember, you're not alone, because somebody got, they right here. They right here. You just can't see them. They right here. You just can't see them. And as soon as you need it, God will just bring them out from behind the curtains. And they will show up at the right time with the right word of healing, with the right blessing for the right season, because you have support. Can you thank God for support this morning? That God will support you. So as I close, if you're here this morning and you are going through a period of discouragement, you are in despair, that this is a lonely season, don't walk by yourself. Find somebody that you can trust. Not anybody, but somebody you can trust that's further down the road than you are. That's been successful at doing what they're doing. I don't mentor with guys who planted churches 2 months ago. What can you tell me? I'm about to approach a year. I mentor with men and women who've been in ministry 40 plus years because they've seen it all. I can't beat their experiences. Maybe there's a few things God would do differently in global, but after 40 years, they done seen it all. Mentor with the right people. Right before we pray, Coach Jimbo Fisher is at A&M. He's a new coach. And I was at A&M last week. He's a new football coach. And I'm meeting with the player development coach. And he says, Eric, do you know Coach Fisher makes all of his coaches watch film on the recruits a minimum of 10 times? I said, huh? He said, oh, man, he's very detailed. And every time they watch film, he would say, what did you see? What did you see? What did you see? He goes around the table. They come back the next day. What did you see? What did you see? And one of the coaches got upset. And in the meeting, he said, Coach, why are you making us watch film like this? He said, because every time you watch film, you watch it through a different lane. You watch it through a different lens. One day you may have had a fight with your wife and you coming in mad. You don't want to watch the film. One day you're tired. You're watching the film. You're not looking at it from the right lens. So I need you to watch it at least 10 times so you can get the best angle. Some of y'all, God is telling you, readjust your lens. You got support, but you're looking at it through the wrong lens. You're tired. You're upset. You're offended. You're mad. People coach you to make you better. And I know I use this, and I'm about to pray. This is probably one of the best coaches I had in my life. And I'm not saying this to make you cry. The best coaches are the one who cares. And this man coached me hard. That he would put on the film, I'm about to embarrass him. Eric Anderson, what are you doing? Look at that. That's horrible. You disgust me. Yeah, you said that. I got it right here, coach. Come on, you can do it better. You got too much talent. You're being lazy. He coached me hard. But I am who I am today because of a hard coach. Support. Quit being around people who are going to tell you everything you want to hear. Every now and then you need to get your feelings hurt. Every now and then you need to be cut down to size. Every now and then you need to be told the truth, raw and uncut. But every now and then you need to have some healing in your words.
Thank you for listening. Join us each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. at The Overlook, located in Atascocita, Texas. Visit us online at www.globaloutreachcc.org. Remember, your life matters because it matters to Christ.